I'll try and speak loudly, but not too loudly. Today I'm sharing the 5-Minute Foundations on overcoming temptation. Temptation is enticement to sin, disobedience. Sorry, getting a little echo there. Might turn the gain down a little. Source of temptation would be the world, flesh, the devil. Everyone is tempted. Even Jesus was tempted. But temptation is not sin. But it could lead to sin. There are keys to overcoming temptation. The last time I shared on overcoming temptation, when I talked about the first one, which is avoidance, from 2 Timothy 2:22, says, "Flee also youthful lust." I told the story of my great-grandfather and how after he got saved, he no longer walked the short route home past all the bars and pool halls that he used to enjoy on his time after work before going home. He walked an extra couple miles out of his way to make sure that he didn't go anywhere near him. I want to tell a little on me, right? So, you know, last time I told great-grandfather's story, I'll tell a story of mine, right? So, from my youth, I loved music, and I was a simple person, and I liked bad music, right? It was all sorts of awful music, and my mom would always catch me with a CD or with the radio on the wrong station, and she'd confiscate those CDs and change the radio stations in my cars, and I mean, there's a few CDs that I bought multiple times because she kept finding them and kept going back to that thing, right? And the music's not sinful, right? It just led me to do sinful things, right? It put me in a mind state. And I realized that after I got saved and I'm driving in my car and I'm listening to the old music that I used to listen to all my life, and it's a beautiful day, yet I'm newly saved and I'm giving other drivers a finger. And I'm cursing at them saying, "Get out the road." And it's not, you know, who I was at that point. But listening to that music put me in a different mood and put me in a different position that then I was doing those things that I shouldn't be doing anymore. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, "Delete your music." And that was painful, right? You know, at that time, you know, I'm in my late 20s. I had cured a collection of, I think it was like 14,000 albums. It was a large collection. I was very proud of this collection. But all of that was leading me down a hurtful path that I didn't need to go, that I wasn't a part of anymore. And so the Lord spoke to me and told me, delete it all. And through much pain, I was obedient. But I was obedient. And I was obedient. There was this time where I needed that avoidance. I needed to just flee from those things of my youth that brought me into these things I shouldn't do. We get to our second point, adoration. That's the one I struggle with still today. Because as I'm being tempted, I don't automatically turn to praising the Lord, but it is helpful. I have to go first to point three, which is assistance, which is going to Jesus. If I'm not going to Jesus first, I'm going to have a hard time with adoring him. I need his help in my life to flee from those temptations. It was just a couple weeks ago. We were at home. We were doing, you know, just household chores. And there was some tension. I didn't go straight to adoration. I had to stop in a quiet room by myself, ask for his assistance before then entering into worship. And it changed my whole atmosphere, changed my whole attitude. I went from, Lord, I have to wash your dishes, to, I'm happy I get to wash dishes for someone. Our last one is accountability. Our last one, our fourth A in avoiding temptation is accountability. And that is to go to others. In James 5:16, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There's a song that I really like right now. And one of the lines in the chorus is, give me all the troops so we can Normandy the shores and attack this temptation, this thing that isn't supposed to be here, this devil that is toying with us. Give me all the troops so we can Normandy the shores. We aren't meant to go in this walk alone. We need to go with the body. Hence the reason Christ calls us a body. He doesn't call us individual cells. You're the cell of Christ. No, you're the hands, you're the feet, you're the body. We work together. We help one another out. As I stub a toe, right, I hop on my other foot. If one of us is hurting, we help. So as we come to temptation, don't be afraid to come up, receive prayer, to talk to another brother or sister, and ask for prayer, and ask for help, and ask for accountability. Pastor Dave will get impartations while he's preaching. There's someone dealing with this. That's an invitation to courage to come forward and say, hey, yeah, I am, and I do need help. Thank you.
Amen. Well, I hope that you have come today to fix your eyes on Jesus. That's essentially what Andy was saying. When he tempted, he had to change his focus. He had to look to the one that can help him. Let's stand together and let's praise his wonderful name. Let everything that hath breath, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let everything that hath breath, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'll praise in the valley, praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure, praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when outnumbered, praise when surrounded. 'Cause praise is the water my enemies drown in. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Lord, oh my soul, I'll praise when I feel it, and I'll praise when I don't. I'll praise 'cause I know you're still in control. 'Cause my praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I'm not a reason to praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, I won't be quiet. My God is alive. How can I keep it inside? Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I'll praise 'cause you're sovereign, praise 'cause you reign, praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise 'cause you're faithful, praise 'cause you're true, praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. I'll praise 'cause you're sovereign, praise 'cause you reign, praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise 'cause you're faithful, praise 'cause you're true, praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. 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 I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How can I keep it inside? I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How can I keep it inside? Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Let everything that hath breath, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's praise Him this morning. Glory to your name. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Oh, we praise the name of our God. Oh, we praise the name of our God. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we praise you. Oh, Jesus, we praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All things have passed away. Your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. Things that we thought were dead are breathing in life again. You cause your sun to shine on darkest nights. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. Blessed will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. hopeless have found their hope. The orphans now have a home. All that was lost has found its place in you. You lift our weary head. You make us strong instead. You took these rags and made us beautiful. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one hearts adore, our hearts adore, our hearts adore. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. We love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Our hearts adore. Our hearts adore. Oh, Jesus, we give you our affection, our heart. Oh, Jesus, Santo Robro Papa Kata. Oh, we give it to you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Harobro Baba Santa She, Anto Robro Papa Kasatai. Oh, Jesus. You, Lord God, praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You dance over me. While I am unaware, you sing all around, but I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. By you, how morning sky with miracles in mind. My hope will always stand. You hold me in your hand. Lord, I'm amazed by you. By you, Lord, I'm amazed by you.
Precious blood of the Lamb, what a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood is mine. Yes, even then he shed his blood for me. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. Oh, thank you for your blood, Lord. Thank you for your blood. Jesus,
bless you, Lord.
Oh, we bless your name.
Thank you, Lord, for your great sacrifice.
Jesus, we give you thanks.
We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. We give you thanks and praise, oh Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your sacrifice, Lord.
Jesus wants us to remember him. That's what the Lord's Supper, communion, that's what this is all about. It's remembering who he was and is, and it's remembering what he did and the sacrifice that he made for us. He wants us to remember him. And you think that maybe that's a no-brainer, of course we're going to remember him, but he knew human nature well enough to know. When Jesus died, unlike any other world I'm aware of, he didn't leave anything written.
As we drink the blood, he wants us to remember that it was sacrifice, like we just sang. It was sacrifice so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Absolutely amazing. And so that because we were forgiven of our sins, we could have a direct relationship with God who created the universe. Amen. So come on up and take the elements, and we'll go back to our seats, and then we'll partake. healthy and whole, and he wants us to partake this morning in remembrance. Jesus was shed to cleanse us from our sins, to make a way that we could have fellowship not only with one another, but so that we could have fellowship with God the Father who created the universe. That was the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, and we partake this morning in remembrance of.
To take a nap during the service, I can reach out and catch it. Whoops, and there it goes. Well, we have a number of prayer requests this morning.
And I'd like to pray for Dave and Lynn, and somebody's got to help me because they have a German last name and I still can't say it right. they sit in the back and Dave's dropped by long enough today to drop off some eggs. He's the guy that's been bringing eggs every week, and I went to greet him and he said, "No, stay back." He and Lynn have been sick for quite a while, so I let them know that we would pray for them today. Judy Riley's home again today. Severe back and neck pain. It's just not giving her any relief. We need to pray. Kim Parrish has got an infection. She started on a different antibiotic. We want to pray and believe God to take hold of and rid her body of that infection. Rita Piangatelli has asked for prayer for her brother Joe. He apparently is dealing with a number of health issues and just experiencing some real health breakdowns. So we want to pray and believe God for that. And I'd also like to remember, we'd like to remember each week one of the missionaries that we support. And kind of keep them in the forefront of our minds. And as we bring it up on Sunday morning, I want you to take note and remember to pray for that. Pray for them during the week. And then next week we'll bring up another one. This week I'd like to pray for Parker Jordan Christian Academy. And Parker Jordan has had their share of tremendous blessings and tremendous challenges this year. If I had thought that I had Ed come up and give us an update, but they do have a quite a nice fundraiser coming up in just a little bit. And but Christian schools, always the big struggle is finances. Your tax dollars at work go to the public school, and whether parents choose to send their kids there or not, that's where the money goes. So it's a tough thing, but Parker Jordan, God has blessed it. We want to continue to pray, especially for financial provision and for grace upon the lives of the kids that they're teaching there. So let's pray together. Oh, one more thing. It was brought to my attention. Years ago, we supported two missionaries to the Philippines, Millard and Virginia Collins. They were very close friends of Mason and Joan Sorensen. Mason knew Millard back in his before salvation days, and when Millard got saved, he really got saved. And he went off to be a missionary to translate the Bible into the Filipino language in the Philippines, and spent his Christian life there with them. Translated all of the New Testament. I'm not sure how far in the Old Testament they got, if they completed it or not, but Millard had kidney cancer, and he recently passed away, and we want to remember Virginia and their family. Father, we thank you today for a life that was given to bring the Word of God to other people, and so sacrificially, Lord, the life of Millard Collins. And Lord, we pray for his family today, and to those that his life touched in the Philippines, who are like his family because he introduced them to the Savior. Father, we pray for those who remain, that they would be comforted first in the loss of him, but also that they would be inspired by his life to live and to follow more closely in the footsteps of Jesus. We thank you for it. Lord, we pray for Dave and Lynn, that you would deliver them from affliction. God, that you would drive that out of their system, get that respiratory thing out of them. Father, renew their strength. Lord, we know a number of people have suffered with that. We pray that you would deliver them. Help them, Father. We pray for Judy Riley, that you would touch her back and her neck. God, you have touched her, and you have touched her. We're saying, Lord, do it again. Do it again. Touch her body. Father, bring release from pain. Bring release from those inflamed nerves, everything that's giving her pain. Father, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke that pain. Lord, let her be released from it in Jesus' name. We pray for Kim Parrish, Lord, that you would deliver her from infection, especially lungs, that you would clear her lungs. Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would touch her body. God, that you would strengthen her, and that you would deliver her from infection within her lungs. We believe that you're able to do it. And Father, we thank you for that we have a Christian school again in our region, Father, after not having one for some years. And God, we pray your blessing on Parker Jordan School. God, that you would pour out financial blessing, and that you would pour out spiritual blessing. Father, that you would meet the needs that they have, and Father, that they would be able to fulfill their heart's desire to raise up world changers, people who will have the Word of God at the center of what they know, and that they would go out and change the world. Father, use that school, and continue to bless and encourage the staff there, meet their needs, encourage and help them, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. God hears our prayers, folks. We don't just pray and hope. We pray and believe. And then when we're done, that's why we're told in the end to with thanksgiving, so that when we're done, we say, all right, thank you for the answer, Lord. We believe you. We believe you for the answers. Glory to his name. I had two messages that I was going to share with you this morning, and I just struggled, which one, Lord, which one? So I just decided I'd bring both of them. And you know, probably I'm feeling like 2:30, 3 o'clock I could maybe get done, but are you cool with that? You're laughing. Yeah, I had to pick, so I picked. And it was one that I've shared about a lot. And sometimes I say, well, God, I've already shared this a lot. Shared it a lot. And the Lord said, go get ready. I said, but Lord, I've shared this a lot. And the Lord said, go get ready. Okay. So, Adam, you can bring it up back there. The power of words. And I'm going to ask you today, sometimes I do your work for you. Today I'm going to ask you to do your own. If you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 18. If you don't have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to look under the seat somewhere and pull one out. They're all over the place. There's lots of Bibles for everybody. I did not put this one up on the screen. I felt like the Lord said, have people look it up. Proverbs 18. And now I have to find it too. If you don't know where it is, it's right after Psalms. Proverbs 18, and we're going to begin in verse 19. Proverbs 18, 19. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. I would have expected the fruit of his field, but the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. If you look at back at verse 19 again, a brother offended. First, in verse 19, we see death. Offense. It says contentions are like the bars of a castle. And then in verse 20, we see life. A man's stomach will be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips. He'll be filled. And then in verse 21, we're given a choice. We see death, we see life, and then we're given a choice. Life, death, and life are in the power of the tongue. There is a creative and also a very destructive force in our words. They can be very powerful, and they can be, but also be very destructive. If you would turn all the way back to the beginning of your Bible to Genesis chapter 1, I want to talk a little bit about the power of words. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1, just go to the beginning and look at the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the waters. What a picture. There's the Spirit of God just sort of hovering. There's an expectancy. Something's about to happen. And then in verse 3, it says, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God spoke, and it happened. Wham! There it was, light. There was creative force in his words. God spoke, and life happened. Light happened. First it was, let there be light. Then he said, let there be sky and earth. And then he said, let there be seas. Then he said, let there be plants. Poof, there was plants. And every fruit, every seed bearing, fruit bearing seed after itself, let there be, poof, and it appears. And then verse 20, let there be fish. And the ocean was full of fish. Let there be birds. Verse 24, let there be animals, pal. But then, verse 26, he creates people, but it's entirely and completely different than how he created everything else. When he created everything else, he spoke it into being. Pow, there it was. But when he created man, it was different. When he created man, it said, verse 26, oops, I'm on the wrong page. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. It's entirely different than all the other creation. And not only was it entirely different, but God put everything under the man. Notice he said, let him have dominion over everything. Psalm 33:9, wonderful picture of how God created. He spoke and it came to be. But when it came to people, he created. And I'd like to take a quick look over in Genesis. Well, no, let's hold. In verse 27, it says he created him. That literally means that he shaped him. He formed him. There was an artistry. There was a caring and a creativeness that he had when he created man. Completely different than just all the other things that he spoke into existence. If we look in, I want to look in Genesis chapter 2. And there goes all my junk. That's one way to clean out your Bible. Genesis 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. It says that God formed man from the ground. Do you know God has hands? The scripture talks about God's hands. He took his hands. And out of the dust, he formed the man. It was an incredible creation, how he carefully created him. And he said he made the man into his image. Do you know what that means? That means that you and I look like God. It doesn't mean we are God. We're not the exact representation, but he made us in his image. It talks about God's head, his eyes. His ears, his hands, his feet. He made us. We look like God. Isn't that cool? But then he does something else. He formed him from the dust, but then he breathes the breath of life into Adam. He did not do that for any of the other creatures that he created. And that word, that pneuma, that spirit, what it literally means, in the Hebrew, it's neshama chai, or chai, neshama chai. It means he breathed into him a living spirit. When he breathed in that breath into Adam, Adam was not like the animals. He was not just another being. God breathed into him an eternal part. He breathed into him a spirit that was never, ever going to die. That eternal thing. And remember that Genesis 1:27 says, we are made in God's image, in God's likeness. And just as God is three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, so we're three also. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. We're that three-part thing. Just the way that that God is, made in His image. Now, if we go back to Proverbs 18:21 and we talk about life and death, remember, we're made in the image of God. The reason that people are creative is because God is creative. The reason that we can make music, the reason we have people who can play instruments today is because God is musical. He's creative. We have people that make beautiful things. Judy Riley has made, and Sherry Clark have made us beautiful things. Needlepoint work and crocheting. It's because God is creative. We are emotional because God is emotional. It says, for God so loved the world, John 3:16. Psalm 7:11, God gets angry. Scripture, it says, God is angry with the wicked every day. Exodus 20, verse 5, God says, I am a jealous God. Don't you have any other gods in front of, before me. I'm jealous for you. God is joyful. Zephaniah 3:17, He will joy over you with singing. We sang that this morning. You dance over me, even though I can't see it. I know you're doing it. And just as there is power in God's words, creative power, so there is also power in our words. Because we're made in His image. Now, it's not the same power. I can't say, let there be a tree, zap, and there it is. It doesn't work that way. I cannot create things like God. I can't create the world. It's a good thing. It's a good thing that power doesn't reside in people. We could be in real trouble. But our words have power, constructive power and destructive power. And, you know, every society knows this. Even culture knows this. Even godless people who express no faith in God recognize the power of our words. That's why you hear motivational speakers. That's why you've got books like The Power of Positive Thinking and you know, things that don't ever mention God, but they encourage people. It's because God's Word, the principles of God's Word work. They work. They work even in the world. For people that don't believe Him, if they put it to work, it works. Because God's Word is true. It's truth. And I think I actually did put some of these scriptures up there. You know what? I think since we made that move, my clicker isn't going to work anymore, Adam, so you're going to have to just take me on. Oh, yeah, there it is. Go on from that one. Next. James 3:2. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to control his whole body. I look at that and I think, what? You mean if I control my tongue and I'm never at fault in what I say, and then I realize, well, I already blew that 5 minutes ago. Oh, Paul says, the scriptures, in many ways we offend all. Oh, it doesn't take very long, does it? It really doesn't. And then, but if we looked lower in verse 9 of that same chapter, oh, maybe I've got it. Did I put it up? Oh, yeah, I did. With the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. On the one hand, you bless God, and on the other hand, you can curse people who are made in His image. Yeah, well, you don't know these people. these rotten people. Does it say what people? Then we have to be careful what we say about people. We need to be careful what we say about people. Oh, I'm going to step on some dangerous ground. Ooh, look out. You need to be careful what you say about people in government. You be careful what you say about them. You ought to pray for them. If you disagree with them, don't curse them. People made in God's likeness. They need your prayers. They need you to intercede. If you think they're going the wrong way, look at all the times in the Bible when David had a chance to lop off Saul's head and he said, I will not. And was Saul a good guy? No, God had already decided against him. It grieved God that he made him king, but David said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. You know, the scripture says that God puts people in power. Ooh, really? So you be careful what you say. I'm preaching this to myself. I have to be careful when I get on the news. I get angry. I start reading stuff, and I get mad. I'm like, who's... Well, I'm not a perfect person anymore, because I didn't do... That was over a long time ago. Be careful. You know, when I was a boy, Paul had a time in the scripture where he tooted his own horn. He told about all his wonderful things. So I'm going to just toot my horn a little bit with absolutely no consequence whatsoever. This is driving me crazy. I can't stand it. Sorry. I keep seeing it out of the corner of my eye. It's going to make me crazy. When I was a little kid, I was born into an athletic family. My sister was very athletic. She could play tennis. She was a great softball player. Ooh, Pat and Denise, you would have liked my... She was like your girls. She could play. But it was back in the days when girls' sports was not really promoted very much. But boy, could she bat. And when she got older and she played in a softball league at work, the guys saw her up to bat and they're like, oh, it's a girl, move in, move in. And they pitched her the ball and she plowed that thing. My brother, he was a runner. He just could... A sprinter. He held the New York State records when he was in high school. He played on the football team, and the reason he was so good is that they'd give him the ball, and he'd take off, and nobody could catch him. He just scored touchdown after touchdown. It was tough being born in that family, following them, you know. But there was one thing as a kid that I could do. I could jump. I could jump. I didn't have the sprint that my brother had, but I could jump. And I remember one time we were in gym class and we did the president's physical fitness test, and where you had to do the standing broad jump. And everybody got up and jumped. They were jumping. And then it was my turn and I got up and I thought, oh, this is easy. And I jumped and I went boing. And I jumped about 3 feet farther than everybody else in the room. And they're all like, ugh. And the kids are looking, and the coach is looking, and it's like, do that again. I'm like, okay. And I'm like little kangaroo Dave, boing. and they looked at that, and the kids ran over. We also did the high jump, and we had to, you know, jump over the pole, and I could do that. The kids ran over to the to the gym teacher, and they said, wow, did you see Williams? Did you see? And I heard they were talking about my ears perked up. Did you see him? What a jump. Do you think he could go on and be a great jumper? And the gym teacher now had an opportunity. He had an opportunity. And he looked at the kids and he said, no, Williams can't do that. You got to have strength to do that. I was a skinny kid. You got to have strength. And I heard him say that. And something inside of me died that day. It did. I never tried it again. Never did it again. But he had an opportunity there. What could have happened if he had decided to bless and not curse? I mean, maybe I would have just joined the high school track team and gotten to participate, or maybe something beyond, I don't know. But there was an opportunity there to bless. And instead, he chose the opposite. What that can do to a person. But at that point in my life, I've really been trained to failure. I've heard kids, oh, you're skinny, you're ugly, you're never amount to anything. And so I just was like, okay, I guess that's me. You know, the scripture says that your enemy, the devil, is the accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12:10 calls him the accuser of the brethren that accuses them before God day and night. And that enemy will come with lies and speak death into everything that he can speak death into. He accused God to Eve in the garden. He came and he said, "Hey, did God really say that? Did he really? You won't die. Nah, you won't die." Words always bring death. God's just trying to hold out on you. That's my paraphrase. You won't die, but it's a lying spirit, and his words brought death. As scripture says, John 10:10, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. God, Jesus said, "But I have come that they may have life." Your enemy wants to steal from you. I think I put it up there. Go to the next slide, Adam. John 6:63, the words "I have spoken to you," Jesus, "are spirit," pneuma, "and they are life." The words that the enemy wants to speak to you are death. I went back to music school when I was 28 years old. I'd been in college for a few years already. That's where I met my wife in Fredonia, and we got saved. But I never finished. I didn't finish. So I decided when I was 28 to go back to music school. And when I went and auditioned, I auditioned on the piano, and they had a group of professors was there, and it was a terrifying experience in a little small room, and they're sitting about 2 feet away from me, staring at me. And I'm playing the music, and then they tested my ear, and they did all this, and one of the professors was very excited. He was like, "Whoa, this is great. This is terrific. Oh, we're so excited to have you." And then they went and recommended me. They gave me all this scholarship money. And I said, "Oh, yeah, you'll be terrific. Yay." And then as I began to study with him, he became my teacher my first year, I noticed every lesson became more and more negative. "Oh, don't do that. I have one of my teachers taught me to be expressive and release my weight in the keyboard, and he goes, "Why are you flapping your arms like a chicken?" And so I was like, "Okay." And all the negative criticism after criticism after criticism after criticism. You know, after a while, I felt like I couldn't do anything. And then after one performance, I performed before the entire piano. Not the whole studio, but the whole school, all the piano majors and the piano faculty. And I and another student performed a piano duo, two pianos. And when we got done, apparently something I had done really annoyed my professor. And he was like, basically said, "Well, that playing just made me sick." He literally said that. Boy, when you do that at the piano, it just makes you sick. And he's looking right at me, and as he's saying it, I'm sitting there thinking, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I don't receive that." But those words, they had such an effect on me. And at the end, he looked at me and he said, "I have changed my mind about you, David." He said, "I've really changed my mind." And then he went on to tell me that he didn't think I should be a music major anymore. Well, that summer, he had a heart attack and he passed away very suddenly, very tragic death. It really affected the whole community and he was gone. And they hired this lady. Her name was Dolores Gadevsky. Dolores Gadevsky had her doctorate from the Eastman School. She had studied with Rebecca Penny's very great concert artist. She had traveled all and studied all over Europe. She had studied with one of the eminent teachers in Europe who had trained all of the big performers of the day, Artur Rubinstein, Vladimir Horowitz, all of these famous pianists. She studied with this person, and she came back here. She was a Fulbright scholar, and she actually premiered works in the Kennedy Center in Washington, and she was coming to Houghton College to be my teacher. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm gonna study with this woman. What's she gonna do to me? And I went in for my first lesson, and she kind of worked with me a little bit, and then I just looked at her and I said, you think I can do this? And she looked at me and she said, of course you can. Of course you can. She said, you are very talented. And then she just began to pour the word of God out into me. She began to, and she would, in my lessons, she would relate things to the Holy Spirit, and I would work on things, and she'd say, yes, you can do it. I'd get frustrated, and she'd say, but yes, you can play this. You can do it. Yes, that woman rescued me. She is the reason that I got through music school, because she spoke life. She spoke life to me. Got me through my recitals. She pushed me. I played an extra recital. I played an hour-long junior recital. I was probably crazy. But what a wonderful person. She would just continually tell me, yes, you can. I remember in some of her lessons, I'd start to get upset, and she'd go, stop it, just like that. And you knew as soon as she said that, you better stop it. Don't go to the next step. But it was because she was trying to encourage me. And that woman, because she spoke life, she got me through school. It's the devil's job to beat us down. It just is. And his goal is to build a living script in you, a running script of negativity, bad things, bad ways of thinking about yourself, training yourself. When I was a kid, I was told enough times by people, it was by the devil, you're ugly, you're skinny, you're puny, you'll never be able to do anything, bam, bam, and the devil would just beat me over the head with it. And then after a while, he handed me the bat. And then I took the bat, and I beat myself over the head with it. Yeah, wham, wham. And he was free to go off and torment somebody else. Why? Because he trained me. I learned the script. Have you learned, did you find that you learned a script? The devil tried to feed you that the nasty script, all the awful things, and it plays in your memory, and it affects your identity, and it comes through over and over the words of death. Wow. Jesus, when he was talking to the scribes, they were complaining about, you know, don't eat this kind of food, don't do that. Jesus said, it's not the food, it's not the things that go in your mouth that defile you, it's what comes out of your mouth. That's what makes a person unclean, because it comes out of the heart. So the first step here is to begin to change what comes out of your mouth. Oh boy, you know, I have what I would term a kind of creative, artistic kind of personality. What that means is that I live with a certain amount of creative chaos. That's what it means. It means that the areas around me are not always very well organized. My poor wife. Oh, and when I first started pastoring, I would write my notes out. Write, but I didn't immediately have a system for filing them. So when I was done, I started developing this pile. And after a few weeks and a few months, we call it the plop pile, because you know you don't want to know what to do with something, so you plop it on and you get a plop pile. And you get this, I used to have one at school too, you get this nasty pile. And it gets bigger, and then after a while you start to look at it, and it's like, you know, you don't want to look at it, because you know you have to deal with it. It means you have to sit there and sort through it, and oh, just dread it. You have jobs that you just kind of dread them. You just like, ugh, I don't want to do that. And I'm looking at the plot pile here, like. And actually, the plot pile has existed up to today. It still sits there. And the other day, I looked at it, and I was doing the ooh. And I stopped, and I looked at it, and I said, I can do that. I can organize that. I said, Jesus can help me, or you can, Lord, you can help me organize that. And the very fact that I flipped that, all of a sudden, the dread of that task went away. And then I felt like, I can get rid of the plot pile. And all it was changing the words that I spoke. Instead of saying, oh, I hate that thing. I wish I didn't have to deal with it. I said, I can do that. Lord, you can help me do that. I can do it. That dread lifted. I had a student once, a cute little guy, and he was just a problem. Second grader, and he sat right in the front. It was one of these classes where I had to push into the classroom instead of the kids coming to me, and he was sitting in the front, and he wasn't listening to anything I had to say, and he was just doing his thing, and I couldn't, come on, look up here. He just was not going to do a thing I wanted. So I watched him, because I knew eventually he was going to do something good. And it came. He came. He finally, I'm trying to remember what it was that he did. I think it was something in a writing thing or something. But he did something, and he did it really well. He actually did it better than everybody in the class. And I walked up to him, and I said, hey, guess what, Joey? I saw what you did with that. And you know what? You did that better than everybody else in the class. I am so proud of you. Well, that little boy went, and he sat up in his chair, and the next time I came into class, he was sitting up in his, he was ready to go, and he would tell the other kids, he said, I did that better than everybody else. Mr. Williams said so. He would, but, you know, it flipped his script. He's probably being told, oh, quit being such a little monster. And somebody told him he wasn't. In Christ, we have to flip the script. Flip it upside down. Oh, our words can bring life in really, really important ways. Adam, you can go to my next slide. We're about to finish up here. So, and just clicker one more time. Our words can bring life in important ways. First of all, you can speak to God. You can speak the word. The scripture says, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. That means, though, let's flip it. When you speak faith-filled words back to God, God, I believe you. God, you are the provider. You are the one. Then you are pleasing God. Then you are pleasing to God. When you speak words, when you align the words that you speak to the words that are in this book, and you begin to speak them positively instead of the negative stuff that we get so easily trained to do. Faith, it pleases God. Go ahead, Adam. Secondly, speak to your Goliaths. Remember we talked about running to your Goliath? The first step in running to your Goliath is talking to it. Speak the word to your Goliath. You know, when Jesus was out in the boat and the storm was raging, what does he do? He gets up in the bow and he goes, peace, be still. So you need to look at the problems, the Goliaths that stand up in your life and say, God is bigger than you. I had a prophet once come to me and he said, you see a mountain of problems in front of you. And God's word to you is say, that is not my inheritance. And as you proclaim that, that mountain is going to go down. And I found that to be true. That's not my inheritance. Speak to your Goliaths. Speak to the word. God is going to provide for me. God is going to break through. God can heal my body. God can help me. Speak to the Goliaths. Tell them to shut up. Peace be still. Those words in the original language, when Jesus said, peace be still, it literally meant lie down, dead dog. Lie down. I think he was speaking to the enemy. All right, Adam, go ahead. Number 3, speak to yourself. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, everything has gone wrong with David. Everything is horrible. The city's been burned. His wife's been taken away, all of their men's wives and everything, their children, all their possessions, everything is gone. And the men are talking about stoning David, and said David was in great distress. But then he said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He spoke life to himself. Sometimes you have to speak life to yourself. You have to say, self, line up with what's true. Come on. Line up. I give myself lectures sometimes. I'll give myself a little lecture. Cut it out, David. Listen to God. Believe him. Oh, so you speak to yourself. Be encouraged. Believe God. Change that script. Instead of saying, oh, I am such an idiot. Don't say that. Say, oh, God, you can help me. And I have the mind of Christ. Don't speak those negative things. And then lastly, number four, speak life to others. Proverbs 25:11 is a beautiful scripture. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. It conjures up such a wonderful picture. When you say something to somebody else, it's such a blessing that it encourages them. It is a beautiful thing. It can revolutionize somebody's whole life. Take every opportunity. Remember, the adversary is there to tell them every rotten thing. You don't need to tell them every rotten thing. I don't need to tell them every rotten thing. We need to encourage people. People want to be loved. You want to witness to people in the world. People want to be loved. They want to be encouraged. They've got enough people telling them they're bad. Be a blessing. Speak life to people in those situations. Life, speak life with God. Speak it to the Goliath. Speak it to yourself and speak it to others. Father, we thank you that you have made, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are fearfully and wonderfully made because we're made in the image of God. Lord, we are privileged that you have breathed the breath of life into us. You've given us that eternal spirit. And Father, we are in so many ways, we want to look like our Father. We want to be ones that when people see us, they say, gee, you look like your dad. God, I want to look like my Father in heaven. Lord, I pray that you would help us to our words to line up with your word, that our words would line up with your heart. And God, that you would help us to speak the things that are truth to both to you, Father, and to ourselves and to others in the world, Father, that we would be a light in a dark place, that you would use us to be ones who speak and bring life to others. And Father, we thank you for the privilege of it. It's such a privilege. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we sing something in closing before we go? I'd like to sing that song that we did earlier. It says, Lord, I'm amazed by you. Would you stand with me one more time? You dance over me while I am unaware. You sing all around, but I never hear the sound. Me.
how you love me. How wide, how wide, how deep, how great is your love for me. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Father, we thank you today for your great love for us, that you have created us in your image, that you have breathed your life into us, and we give you thanks and praise, Lord. Help us to go forward bearing your image, bearing your likeness, bearing your words, in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you need prayer, please feel free to come up. Someone will be up front to pray for you. If you need prayer, don't leave without it. We believe God for miracles, and He is able. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Thank you, Father.